Today, we are going to be delving into Jacob and Israel. So, the spiritual work of the weekday and Shabbat. So, we know that Israel, the name Israel itself, is not just Israel. Israel, right? The person assumed that name after going through a little bit of trials and tribulations in his life. And after going through those trials and tribulations, he assumed this role, he assumed this level of being Israel, going up to the highest level. So why are we talking about this? And then we're going to be delving into it. And God willing, we're going to try to extract from these lessons, God willing, a little bit of a deeper understanding, not just about the person, but about ourselves, because we know Kabbalistically, according to the Kabbalistic traditions, that all personalities that we're talking about in the Torah are really indicative of ourselves. And all the stories that are going on out there are really going on inside of us. And it's a matter of applying them and understanding how they are made applicable and make sense to us in our lives. So that's where we have the beautiful teachings of Chassidut, of Kabbalah. So I'd like to welcome you all to today, to Tzfat, to Ascent, to Thursday night. We're right before Shabbat. Thank God we're getting ready, which is a great segue of understanding actually these two personalities. We've got the weekday and we've got Shabbat. And Jacob is very much associated with a weekday, whereas Israel is associated with Shabbat. So before we get into that concept and try to understand and unpack that concept a little bit more, why are we talking about this specifically now, specifically today? And the reason is because of the weekly parsha. So we know that the weekly parsha very much governs our life. And so the lessons that go on in the weekly parsha are not just lessons outside of us, but they have a lot to do with how our week is meant to be understood and sort of like refocused and reframed via the lessons. So in this week's parsha, we learn about the negative individual called Bilam. And Bilam was the prophet of the nations, of the rest of the nations. So he was almost like the Darth Vader, the other side of Moses. There was Moses on the side of Kedusha, of holiness, and Bilam was like on the other side, and he had the ability, it was to know what was going on in we could say in the other side, right? The darks, right? And he's hired by the king of Moab called Balak. And so Balak hires Bilam to do the job that basically armies can't do. Now, why does he figure that? Because the nation is of Israel is just rolling through the coast, and they're coming really close by to Moab, and they're seeing like all these like big nations and mighty countries and whatnot are just like falling down. They're like create they're you know just they're unable to stand before Israel. So on a physical level. So Balak, it says that about him that he himself was a sort of a sorcerer. He knew what was up, he knew what was going on. And he knew that if we want to do something here with Israel, with this nation, then it's not going to work just on a purely physical level. We've got to go with the same playing cards. What are the same playing cards? It's a spiritual war. It always has been. It always will be. It's a spiritual war. And that war is something that Balak wanted, felt that he needed to embark upon by hiring the services of Bilam, who was going to be able to do the job of cursing the people. So, not getting into all the story of what was going on in the Parsha, you could feel free to like jump into it and see what was what, you know, the whole dynamics. It's a fascinating dynamics. And what's interesting is that the greatest blessings in the whole Torah are found in this parsha, more than any other parsha, more than any other individual, including even Moshe. These blessings of Bilam are even greater than the blessings of Moshe. And we learn from here a very profound lesson that within the opposite, within the we could say that challenge or that opposite dynamic, that opposite energy, it's not that we are just going to go head to head with this type of challenge, we could say, but we're going to gain from it. It's not just we're going to come out on the other side, but we're going to be better for it because we've dealt with such a major, we could say, with this obstacle, with this level of negativity. And that's a major lesson for life and understanding that whenever we're faced with any challenges, things like that, Hashem is telling us, that you're meant to be coming out something greater. And that actually, that's the name for a nisayon, a challenge, has the same root as a nes, as a flagpole or a miracle, because the challenge itself allows you to rise up higher than had you not had the challenge. Now, not that we're choosing the challenge and we would ever want it, but the challenges themselves put us on a higher level. So Balak brings Bilam in to the picture and has him presents him with a view of the people. And he's like, go for it and just give it your best shot. Like, you're up third or fourth, like, we want a grand slam over here. Like go for it. And Balak goes up, Bilam goes up there. And every time he not only stumbles, he's like stuttering, but like, he's like, blessings come out of his mouth. He's about to say something bad, and then it's like blessings, the opposite, right? But what's interesting is that we find throughout these blessings, we've got Bilam going back and forth with the same pendulum of phrases, of words. And it's almost very poetic, where we have Lohebit Aven Beyakov Velo Ra'al Amal Beisrael. Says that God did not see the negativity, the shortcomings in Jacob. He didn't see the shortcomings in Jacob and Velo Ra'al Amal Beisrael. And he didn't see the hardship within Israel. That's number one poetic Jacob, Israel kind of thing. And then he says, when he's called up, he says, well, I was called up by Balak, who told me, Lecha ara li Yaakov ulecha zoama Yisrael. Go and basically curse Yaakov and be angry at Israel. And in a different place, he says, Mi mana afar Yaakov umispar rova Yisrael. Who counted the dust of Jacob and who amassed the nation, the seed of Israel. And he continues on with a bunch of these, right? Matova, and famously we know, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael. One of the most beautiful blessings that we actually say this before our prayer service, before we actually start and embark upon the prayer, we say, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob. Mishkanotecha Yisrael are your dwelling place, O Israel. And these words, Yaakov Yisrael, and it's like very much stands out at us when we're reading these blessings. He's not just blessings, not just saying, yeah, it should be good on you, whatever. He's saying Yaakov, and then he's going Yisrael, Israel. So what are these two dynamics of Yaakov and Yisrael all about, that, that we receive the blessings, the greatest blessings for these two levels? So there's a beautiful little prayer that we say on Saturday night, I must say Shabbat, that some people say. and it goes through 22 verses where Jacob is mentioned, Yaakov is mentioned, and we say, Al tira avdi Yaakov, don't fear my servant Yaakov, right? And it goes through 22 verses, psukim, Al tira avdi Yaakov, Al tira avdi Yaakov, do not fear Yaakov. Just as we go into the weekday, we're reminded, Al tira avdi Yaakov, don't worry my servant Yaakov. And it's explained according to Kabbalah and according to Hasidut that Yaakov represents the dynamic, the level of the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week where we have the difficulty, we have the challenge, we've got our ups and downs, that is represented by Yaakov. Yaakov's journey, the Yaakov journey is basically, it's the Monday morning. When we're like 6 a.m., whatever, man, I got to go into the office today and I got to, and not that life should be that way, but, you know, because we should find the things that are really inspirational for us and what we could, you know, transform the world with. But still, even everything that the weekday, the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, basically, and the Sunday as well, because it represents the six levels that Kabbalah calls the Ze'er Anpin, the small face, which represents the spherot that are meant to be rectified in our lives. So a Sunday is the sphera of chesed, of loving kindness. So we have to sort of rectify in a way like that energy of the week. Monday is gavura. That's why Monday, which means discipline. That's why Mondays are usually very harsh for us. Normally, Tuesday, it's like, it's getting a little better. It's like pamaim kitov. It says about it twice good. Wednesday is already netzach. It's like fortitude. I got to make it to, you know, just one more day. Thursday, it's like, it's going to take me close to the weekend, to Shabbat. And then Thursday, like you're almost sliding in. And Friday, you know, you're already saying lechadodi. And then we have Shabbat, right? And so what does Shabbat represent? Shabbat is Israel. Yaakov is the 6 days of the week. Shabbat is Israel. What's the difference between these two dynamics, right? So Shabbat is another day. Like, what's the difference between Friday and Shabbat, Thursday and Shabbat? Like, what's the difference? So it's explained that the 6 days of the week, our primary work that we go through, that we do through our spiritual work, our spiritual endeavor, our physical work as well, but our physical work, our jobs and everything that we're going through in our lives on a personal level, on any level, really has to do with our spiritual work, because everything goes back to the reason why we're in this world, why God sent our souls down into this world. And it's not a coincidence that we find ourselves wherever we find ourselves in, you know, the environment that we find in, the type of upbringing and parents, it's not random. It's exactly the way your soul is meant to actualize herself in the world. So being down in the weekday means contending with the world that we call the world of tikkun, the world of fixing. And the world of fixing is all about essentially challenge. Sorry to break it to anyone who didn't realize it yet, but it's the world says Adam la'mal yivaled, that yulad, that man, that a human is meant to come down to this world for a challenge. Not to be scared of the challenge, but the challenge is the challenge of Yaakov. The challenge of Yaakov is Yud Ekev. The name Yaakov comes from the word Yud. Yud is a letter Yud, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which represents the quintessential point of godliness of the soul. And Yud, it's up there. And it goes into Akev. What does Akev mean? The ankle. So it's basically the lower, the heel, the ankle, same thing. So it means that we're going down into the lower consciousness, into the lower extremities, into the lower vibrational frequencies. Whereas up there in the world of souls, the soul was like vibrating on a very spiritual beat, and down in this world, all of a sudden sent down into this world. It's like taking a princess, and that's used to all of the goodness of her father's house, of the king. Like, she grew up in the castle, and then her father's like, you got to go down to this farmer's house, like down there in wherever it is, and you've got to spend, you know, some time there, like boot camp kind of thing. It's not easy. But that soul came down into this world for the sake of what we call fixing. Fixing what? Fixing the soul's mission in this world and accomplishing what this soul is meant to do on the physical, in the physical realm, by being in a body, yet being opposed to, with outer obstacles and with inner obstacles. And that's the world, that's the world of Yaakov, Yud Akev. And that's our world, essentially, for the most part, that we're fraught with thoughts, with rampant thoughts, with doubts, with low vibrational frequency, with contending with living up to a certain way that we want to, and then failing at it, and then trying again, and then again going at it, and then like the ups and downs, that pendulum of life basically is what the 6 days of the week is all about. And then we have Shabbat. Luckily, Shabbat saves us, like as the people, and it saves us because it's really our root mission of really getting to, right? Yaakov is meant to reach Yisrael. Yisrael means Yashar Kel, and it has within it also Rosh, Li Rosh for me. There's a head on the level of the mind, of the higher level consciousness. Yaakov is Yud Akev, whereas Yisrael is Rosh, is operating from the higher level. And from that perspective of Shabbat and of Yisrael, basically, we are in a world that of potentiality, of infinite possibilities, because we're operating from the level of our soul. And so from the level of the soul, we're like, oh, I didn't know this. I thought that I was just like stuck in this like little like bubble, in this little like tube of like nothing was going on. And I'm in this, but all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I could actually like see a little clearer. I could understand things. There's positive things going on in life. There's amazing people in this world. There's conversations. There's laughter. There's good times. There's happiness. Like, yes, let the party happen. And that's Shabbat, basically. And you know, and celebrating Shabbat is really celebrating, it's a celebration of the soul, celebrating our potentiality, who we are as higher beings in our potential. So another way to look at this is, it's explained in Kabbalah that there's two dynamics called iskafia vishapra. Itkafia means kofe. Kofe means to force oneself. And that's within the world of Yaakov, we have to train ourselves, discipline ourselves. It's the world of Yaakov, because if you're not going to discipline yourself, then it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be for good for anyone else. And it's just not worthwhile. So for whatever reason, you realize that I cannot keep on, you know, college is over. Like I cannot, you know, keep on partying till whatever, for whatever, maybe not in Tel Aviv, but you guys get what I'm saying. Like discipline, it doesn't matter what discipline is. And for each person, discipline is different. If for a certain person waking up at 10 or 12 a day, and they're very productive in their day, so, you know, good on you. You know, whatever it is that you could figure out works for you. It's not like a one size fits all, you know, kind of a thing. It's like, but discipline is on an inner level is like, how do I fulfill my mission with what I've been given, with my personality, with my all of my abilities, with my intellect, etc. Like, what could I do with this, right? What are the resources and how do I best utilize them? And so for that, we have to have discipline. And without that, basically, we cannot do that. You could have all the talents in the world, but if you don't have the discipline, at the end of the day, it's wasted. You hone in on your talents. You hone in on your potential, and then you could actualize. You could really execute on what your strengths are, and you know, and pair up with people that help you with what your strengths are, and by doing that, right? Basically, that's the formula of Yaakov, of working. He or she is very much in the work field. And for that, again, is required iskafia, discipline. What's Israel? It's the level of ishapcha, transformation. The Zohar says that there's a level of transformation. What's the level of transformation? It's the level of now operating not just from what I've disciplined myself not to do or to do, I'm able to enjoy a balance of the two. I'm able to make the space for not just saying, no, I'm not going to partake in this, but now I'm going to partake in this, but not for my own self. I'm going to partake in this for a higher level and to accomplish something, not again, not for myself. That's still Jacob. The will, Kabbalistically, this is called the will to receive. The will to receive for the self is the world that Jacob is contending with, and that's the ego, which is
interesting, because usually self was the ego.
Well, okay, Yaakov is contending with Esav. No, but that's Yaakov.
I think that Esav is all the week and Yaakov is Shabbos.
No.
Yeshev Olim, studying.
No. Israel, no. He's you still. Yeah, that's the Alter Rebbe, yeah.
Alter Rebbe, okay.
Yeah, so Yaakov is basically the will to receive. But, and Yaakov is swinging between the will to receive for the self, which is egocentric receiving. And it's basically compensating for a lack, or it's numbing something, or it is a space within that one is receiving not with a higher consciousness. Whereas the will to receive, to give, that I want to receive something so I can utilize it for a higher purpose. That's the higher level of Yaakov, where he's able to fix. Yaakov Avdi, of an Eved, a servant, comes from the word Ibud Orot. Like when you in the Mishnah, it says like when you take leather, tan, right? And you put, it takes a lot to take leather and to make it leather that we know of, right? You have to take and you put in a certain type of a formula that goes in it, and then you leave it in another formula, and then it you have to work it and work it and work it and work it, and basically that's avoda in Hebrew. Avoda, which actually prayer is compared to avoda, is working the leather, working the physical, working the animal within us. The animal within us is that will to receive for the self, that saying, give me, me and I, and yeah. I'm scared, I'm feeling these different feelings, and I'm brought down by them. Yaakov is meant to work on them and to put into place methods and plans to be able to operate on a higher level. That's, we could say, the avoda of Yaakov, where consciousness comes in. That yud, which is up there, goes down to the Akiv, and he's like, hi there, I'm here, right? Hello, you in bed hiding there, like, I'm still with you. Hi, like, I'm your soul, you know, I'm here, I've come to remind you, like, I don't want to listen to you. But the soul is saying after a certain amount of time and back and forth, where we're almost like, okay, I get the lesson, I'm starting to wisen up. Hopefully that happens sooner than later for most of us, where we're like, okay, fine, I've got to like get into a certain better decision-making pattern. And when the decision-making pattern, the choice is employed, right? The choice is employed because that's basically where we are able to change. The only change happens with where? Within choice. Within the mind's ability to choose. Either, like Abraham Maslow calls it, to fall back into complacency, or forward into optimization, into change. It's that choice, that letter yud, that is found within Yaakov. That's making the choice. I am going to exercise today. I am not going to eat that type of food, which is not good for me, or I'm not going to speak to this type of a person anymore, or I am going to engage in friendships that are positive on that level, or I am going to learn
Hasidus,
right? Or I'm going to learn. Those choices are the choices that Yaakov makes. But the difference is between him and Israel is that he doesn't yet feel it. It's still work. He or she is operating from a place of choice, of saying, I've now decided to be a new person, at least in this particular frame and situation of life, or this aspect, this dynamic in my relationship. I'm now making a conscious choice, which hopefully I won't but if I do fall back on, which Yaakov very often does, because that Akiv is pretty strong. It's like an elevator going down. It's like, oh boy. So the patience with Yaakov is like, basically, I'll get up again and I'll choose again and I'll try better until that choice becomes a strong choice that really governs Yaakov in who he is. But Yisrael is different, because Yisrael is like feeling the change. Feeling the change. He feels that this is, wow, I've come so far. I've done this and I've done that. Not on an egocentric level, but feeling like it actually pays off not eating this certain food or engaging in this type of a experience or learning this or, right? Making the choice. When we make the choice, it doesn't feel comfortable. It's like you have to have a discipline in keeping it, which is Yaakov, which is making the discipline choice. It doesn't feel it. But what's Shabbat and what's Yisrael? Li Rosh. It's basically the choice is now felt. We're feeling, and that's the level of Istapcha, transformation. The level of transformation is like we see that everything that we've gone through, all the choices that we're making, are not just choices that were, you know, they're just random, but we know that these choices have brought us to a new place, to a new level in our life. And that's the level of Israel, right? Of Israel. So I just want to pause over here and give all of us maybe a chance to kind of like maybe to absorb that a little bit more and to see if we have any questions or comments on Yisrael or Jacob.
You spoke about Jacob a lot, and then you said suddenly Israel. How can we fit? When did we change from Jacob to Israel?
So you came a little late.
Ah, it wasn't
the beginning. But the whole, all the blessings of Bilam came from these two, like Yaakov and Israel. Yaakov, Israel, like these two going back and forth. That's why we're talking about this today.
First day, also the spirit, Jacob is considered to be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why, if he's like swinging between Jacob to Israel, sometimes he falls to Jacob, sometimes he rises up to Israel, why is he considered to be the middle between grace, between chesed and gvura?
Right. I don't know. Great question. Yeah. So the question is like, why is Yaakov is called Tiferet? He's from the realm of Tiferet. So yeah. it should be like he should be a little bit more like unstable, basically. Yeah. Right.
It's the balance.
Right. That great question, because that's exactly the point. Yaakov is all about balance, and the world of Tikkun is accomplishing the balance. Right, the balance of how much am I taking for myself versus how much am I giving? How much am I right? Am I being self-centered in my approach? Me, and a lot of the self-centeredness, or most of it, really comes from a lack of balance in our emotional life, in our mental life. That we basically are, you know, we sway in a certain way. But we have to get to a balance, and the balance is that's not going to work, you know, or engaging in this type of a behavior is not going to work for me. So I need to come to a balance, because I need to understand that I need to, whatever it is that I'm looking to get, I'm not looking to get just for myself. Sure, I have my needs, whatever they are, physical, emotional, spiritual. We all have the needs which we need for ourselves. That's Yaakov. But yet, am I taking for myself or am I taking for myself to serve Yaakov Avdi? Yaakov is a servant, but before he's able to properly serve, he's got to hone himself in, disciplining himself. So he could properly serve, because if you can't be your own master, then you can't really master or help others.
Do you mean like, because Jacob doesn't let himself, even though he falls down, he still fights within himself.
It's a constant battle.
So he wins sometimes, he loses sometimes.
Exactly.
But he keeps fighting. So maybe that's beautiful. The balance. That's what you mean?
It's definitely staying in the battle. That's the main thing, but that's more Netzach. But it's not about just, there are people that are just fighters. You know, people like that, they're like, I'm just going to fight like all the way to the end. And some of them are narcissists, and some of them are not really just about staying in the battle. They're just about winning for themselves, but it's still very selfish. And it's not really coming from a healthy place at all. Right. They're just like, we're warrior. We're going to this is a war. You're like, it's not a war. Like, let's talk over here. Let's have conversation. It's not like we could be friends, but you know what I'm saying? So, but it's about staying in the battle. It's about 100%. It's about the courage, right? Of staying in the battle. Yet it's not about battling. It's not about war all the time. It's also, and that could be difficult for people that are used to like going through wars or staying in the battle. And I know like there are Holocaust survivor or children of Holocaust survivors that kind of like grow up in a certain mentality of like, my wife's family came from that kind of a background where everything is basically like survival. And they're not about just, okay, we could relax over here. Like the sympathetic nervous system is on high alert all the time. Like I'm going to the grocery store, you know, or you get cut off by the, you know, you, and you know, a lot of us feel like bad, like life is that kind of a battle. And, you know, and in the world that we're in right now, you know, where anxiety is like soaring through the roof, it's like a lot of us do feel like everything is a battle. And in a sense, that's that, you know, we want to have control over our environment, and by making sure no one like does anything to us. So we, you know, so we're very vigilant and whatnot. But that's not the right balance, because the balance maybe for certain people, and especially like that, is also enjoying life. So the balance is not just Yaakov. So for some people, going to the beach is an avoda, or doing or enjoying their time with a loved one, or going or doing this, which a fun activity for them, that's what you should be doing. It's not like, oh, I should just be disciplining and it's all hard and it's all work, da, 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 da. But for some people, it's like, you've got to take a walk today. No, I've got to do work. I've got to like stay on focus. No, like you have to enjoy life, because that's the balance of finding the world of tikkun but that's something that could very easily be scheduled in. Like, I will take a walk today. They say about the Rashba. The Rashba was Rabbi Shlomo ben Anderet, one of the greatest Rishonim, medieval commentators on the Talmud. He was very, very busy. He was a doctor, and he was a philosopher, and he was a ton of things.
Like the Rambam.
Like the Rambam, right? But every single day, he made sure to take a walk. He made time during his day for, I don't know, like I think it was like a half hour, like walk time alone. Or who knows? I mean, you know, he did... He spoke to God, right? But you could say, you're so busy, like that's a half hour. You could be tending to patients, you could be learning it. No, I need that half hour, because that is like, without that, I don't have the right ability. I don't have the balance. So for a person to exercise, for a person to go on a vacation, for a person to have this, It's finding the balance of where is it, where's a sweet spot that I know that this is the right formula for me. So the formula isn't just hard work, but it's sometimes it's putting myself in the situation that how can I enjoy, and how can I put myself in the situation that is a good time, which I need to have, which I should have, and that's. That's the tiferet there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. You spoke about the avodah.
Yeah.
Initially, you said it has to be prayer, and then you said it's work. So
right.
Is there a difference, or praying and working, they could be used interchangeably in this context?
Yeah. So the question is prayer and work the same thing? So. That's a very good question, because really prayer is, on many levels, is our work. Like the Jewish people's work in this world. says Adam la'amal yulad, that a person was meant to be born into amal, into work. So the Talmud says, what kind of work are we talking about? Is it just like working all day as a, you know, as a lumberjack, and you're just like working hard all day? Is that amal? Is amal, or is it amal sicha, or is it the words of sicha, of speaking the words of prayer, speaking the words of Torah? What's the work over here that we're doing? So a person that really is zoche, we could say, is on the level, they could have, and this is what tzaddikim really live by, that they're able to manifest everything that they need in their lives via the intention and the words that they have, which is called avoda. Their work is very sublime, but once the work is done, then the output, the is accomplished. For most of us, right, it's, you know, it takes a lot of learning. It takes a lot of back and forth, right? That we go through mistakes, and we go through them over and over again in different times and different places and different people. And finally, you know, we're all of a sudden like, okay, I think I get this, you know, after the 10,000th time, like, you know. So as much as we want to accomplish being like on the level of amal sicha, that's really where we should be, and that's where we're aspiring to. But that we're starting from the bottom up. We're starting from Yaakov, and we're starting from the bottom up, and we're finding ourselves. Whereas the tzaddikim are from the above down. They naturally have that
ability,
that openness, that clarity of like, oh, it's the world is a, what we call a chidush, is a novelty. The spiritual world is obvious. Like the spiritual world is obvious. That's Israel. Israel sees that. For this world is like, what is this world? It's like a tiny little like universe, and compared to like the greater truth and interconnectedness of Hashem, of the creator, like the world itself, like looking from above below, like when you're flying on an airplane, you're looking down at, you know, at a little, like, I don't know, country even, or from space, it's nothing. But for Yaakov, it's looking from above, from below to above. So this world seems like it's a very big reality, and it's a very harsh reality. Looking up and like, prove to me, God, that something beyond this exists. And, you know, and we're getting down on our knees for, you know, in prayer, like, you know, knocking on heaven's door, you know, to say like, what's happening over here? And that's the difference between Yaakov and Israel also. Avigail? Singing.
Practical question. Can you spell the word, because I'm just not quite understand. Is chafka?
Itapcha, yeah. It? Yeah.
Could you spell it?
Yeah, so it's not really an English word, but it's
I know, in Hebrew.
In Hebrew.
No, spell it in Hebrew.
I'm having a little bit, my keyboard right now is not he's not working on the Hebrew, but
no, you could spell it out loud.
Oh, I'll spell it out loud. Sure.
No, you could
hey, tough, cuff.
Hey, tough. Hey.
Sorry. Hey, tough.
Oh no. I'm not hearing the internet's not.
You're not hearing us. Eat. Yes. Hit hapcha. I'm saying hit hapcha. Could be also with a hey. Yeah. Aleph, yud, taf, kuf, pe, aleph. There you go.
Could you just repeat it slower? Yes. Aleph.
Aleph, yud, taf, kuf,
hey.
Eat. Eat hapcha. I'm thinking eat half, eat kafe. Okay. She's asking for. Oh, eat hapcha. Yeah. Thank you, Or. I appreciate that.
Wrote it?
Yes.
Baruch Hashem.
All right.
I want to say something, you know?
Hey.
It's okay. there. It's there in the chat. What were you gonna say?
Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Was chesed. After that, he went down to Lavan. Mm. He became Gvura. He learned the world. He mm. became Gvura.
Right.
When did he come Tiferet? Only after marrying four women and had all his 12 kids.
Yeah, marriage does that to
everybody
you.
Everybody was fixed. Then he became Tiferet. He came to his rest.
Marriage does that to you. To come to Tiferet is basically, that's true. When you have your...
No, the keys to... I needed to say something. The keys to have a
family. I would say that's turmoil, but...
To have a family. When you have a family, one day you say, right. What's now? Because you are Tiferet.
Yeah.
What's next?
That's true. That's a relationship with kids,
fought the coupleness, you fought mm-hmm. the kids, you fought everything. Now you're
the next? Greatest obstacle happens with from our family, and our greatest balance comes from that dynamic. Because the truth is that that strangers are not as they're not as what's the word for it?
Thank you.
They don't do the job as deeply as basically your family. You know, your closest family especially. And that's where like the chords are really, really, you know, struck, and one has to come to that inner balance and do the work. And that in a relationship, if one of the partners does not do the work, then you can't have a relationship. Because that's the thing. If like a relationship is both sides are doing the work, it's not, and they're both coming to something which is greater than the two of them, because that's basically each one of them is triggering the other. and the same for the children, same for the parents. And that's where we come to our true inner Tiferet, right? Inner balance. Yep. What are you going to ask?
I wanted to have some comments. Like you said, mm-hmm. Yaakov was a servant, mm-hmm. and he did. Out of the three fathers, he was the only one who was working for others. He was working for Lavan.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you okay. said about work. Okay, the work. It's also like for men. It's actually it was a curse. Like the Atah Becha
Right.
From,
right. So
when it was. Expelled from
work,
Eden, like it was that's like a curse for men,
right? So, work really, like we were saying before, work really on the highest level, we're meant to use our intentions and our speech, but because that was perversed by the sin of man up in paradise, then we were taken down, the fall of man, right? We were taken down into. Now you've got to contend with the Adama, with the ground, and contend with the earthiness of yourself, of ourselves, in a very real way, in a very deep way. But we're meant to rise up, right? Rise up and make the decisions and the choices, the right choices, that we could be the best Yaakov, the best workers that we could be, not just on the physical level, because whatever work that we do is really manifesting something great in the world, because it's not just physical work. We're doing something greater than ourselves in the work that we're doing. And whatever job that is, really we're finding meaning in the work that we're doing, where we're bringing Hashem, we're bringing godliness in the work that we're in. You know, I the other day I saw, and this is kind of a thing like only in Israel, I saw one of the sanitation workers, here, actually here on this street, Rehov Ari, only on Rehov Ari, not just only in Israel. Maybe in other places in Israel, I'm sure. The sanitation worker was picking up, you know, obviously putting the garbage and doing all that. So he grabbed onto the garbage truck, and he wasn't wearing a yarmulke, a head covering, but he had these long tzitzit that were just like swinging in the air as the garbage truck was just traveling up. And I was like it took me like a couple of takes. I was like, this guy, this guy's like the holiest guy. Really, like, look at that, like cleaning, like helping the holy streets of Israel, of the holy city of Tzfat, and you know, and proudly wearing, you know, his tzitzit. So he's obviously was living by some, you know, deep mission, and that's true on all levels, on any profession, every profession that we're in. What's the meaning that we take out of the profession, of the work that we're doing? Where is Hashem found in this work? Like, if it's directly or indirectly, but Hashem is always directly there on some level. But how am I serving his creation today via the work that I'm doing? Am I thinking like, how quickly do I want to get home versus how am I a channel for him in the physical world that I'm placed?
Mm-hmm. You said about the connection between our action here on earth and the higher purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we fall back.
A lot of times you fall back. Yeah.
So this
at least me.
Of the dream of Yaakov, it says, "V'chlom v'ne sulam mutzav arza v'roshu v'ne hashamayma v'ne malachei Elohim onim v'yordim bo." Said in English, and he had a dream, and here's a ladder. It is stationed on the ground, and its head is reaching the sky. And here the angels of God going up,
ascending and descending,
and ascending and descending.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. Yes. Very good. Thank you.
And also, another thing you said about the between the struggle between the Yaakov and. Yeah. And Israel, at the mm-hmm. Shabbat and
Shabbat and the weekday.
Yes. When Yaakov got his name mm-hmm. to Israel, it was actually when he was struggling with an angel of
the angel
of God. So the whole notion of Yaakov and Israel, it started this struggle that eventually.
Rabbi Amichai, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
If you could just recap for us.
Yeah. So during the 6 days of the week, we are contending with our physical selves, with our fragile selves, with our broken selves, and we make the choices to how to be the people that we really are meant to be. And we have like a picture that we want to see ourselves in. And during the 6 days of the week, we are in the battle of things. But when do we have the time to make the picture of really who we are, who really we are? That's Shabbat. Shabbat gives us like the time, the ishapcha, the transformation to say like, more than just, you know, wasting the day and just, oh, when is the day going to be over, or when, you know, whatever it is. Shabbat is called Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. There's two levels of keeping Shabbat of also Yisrael. There's Shamor, you could just keep it and that's good also. Or Zachor, you could remember. What are you remembering? Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, remember it. What are you remembering? The Sabbath, the Shabbat. You're remembering that holiness that was invested into the world and into you. And you're remembering that unlimited, untapped potential that is there. Because we have that extra soul, that extra soul on Shabbat. And basically, we're like, you know what? God really loves me. You know what? It's been a tough week, but at the same time, you know, I saw the hand of Hashem here and I saw the hand of Hashem there and I saw this was going on. And it's important to recognize that and to make the mental notes for Yaakov, because Yaakov will be going in to the, you know, into the abyss again. And that's why on Motzei Shabbos, after Shabbat is over, there's that, you know, that song, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, don't fear my servant Yaakov, Al Tira Avdi. So don't worry about it. No, it's difficult, like Shabbat is over, but at the same time, you're gonna make it. You've learned some lessons, and those lessons are not just gonna transpire, they're not just gonna like not be there anymore. You're gonna be able to take these lessons with you. So these two dynamics, these two realms of Yaakov and Yisrael feed into each other. They receive from each other. The transformation is only there. The itapcha is only there if the itkafia is done, because then you feel the sweetness of the transformation of getting to a certain place that, you know, you're not triggered anymore by something as much, or this is not affecting you as much. Wow, that's a great feeling. That's a great place to be in, when you could say, like, I'm actually proud of myself for withstanding, you know, this or that. And that's the kind of place that we should be feeling, because that's feeling a very important, deep satisfaction that Hashem wants us to feel. That's his hapra. Hashem wants us to feel good and wants us to feel the pleasure, the oinig, the pleasure of that goodness. But Yaakov is that, the hardship. But we could also feel pleasure within the challenge and within the 6 days of the week. There's still pleasure there, although you'll say there isn't pleasure there. But when Yisrael is there and we have the Shabbat reminder, and the Shabbat reminder comes to us not just once a week, but we're supposed to bring Shabbat into every day of the week. So we're reminded that whatever I am doing, I'm doing it for Hashem, and as difficult as it is, and whatever it is, there's pleasure when one is doing something for a greater cause and to serve the Creator. So there's a beauty in the service. Although it's a servant, you're not like a prince necessarily during the week, or princess during the week. You feel more like a servant, but there's something very graceful and very pleasurable about serving. And actually, the more we like it, the more we're able to gracefully have that experience of Yaakov and Yisrael, you know, kind of like feeds into it. And it's a beautiful dynamic of the 6 days of the week and Shabbat. So may we have a beautiful Shabbat that is upon us, and taking in the this week's parsha, the transformative blessings of Bil'am, that the energy of the Shabbat has so many blessings in it, and the more that we're able to take in that blessings of Shabbat, then we're able to know that we're not alone in the journey that we're on, right? We're all on a journey in this world. And that journey is not a journey which is, we're not on our own, right? We're with good people around us. And we have, thank God, so many of the incredible, beautiful lessons of the Torah, of Hasidut, of whatever, and we have the beauty of Shabbat to really remind us and to awaken us, and give us the ability to be Yaakov. So going back full circle, Bilam, it's not that he's only blessing Israel. He's not just blessing the transformation. He's blessing the obstacle. He's blessing the person who's going through the mud and is feeling the pinch, right, of what it is, but is enjoying it actually, but is able to look, and even when he's not enjoying it, and even when they downfall, that's part of the journey. That's welcome to being a human. You're not perfect, and you never will be perfect. Sorry to break it to anyone. We thought that they're going to be perfect. Even Moshe, right? Well, Moshe is a different story, but you know. So let's enjoy Yaakov, the Yaakov within us, and enjoy the Yisrael within us, and wishing you all a beautiful Shabbat.
Yeah,
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Blessings. Blessed.